competition. Your name is special, so won't you suckle with the mission? I never walk the street, think it's all about me. Even though deep in my heart, it really could be. I just try my best to like go all out. Some might even say you're shorty black, you're bugging out. Zulu Nation. Bugging out. Tribe Called Quest. If you ever, we have that, maybe we'll tag that video on our site. You can see it. I think it's one of the funniest videos ever done. Tribe Called Quest. It's their day to day. So we are playing their music throughout some of our breaks, and we're now here to have a conversation with Barnyard Woods.
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Good. Senior editor for the city paper. So fax machines are changing your name. I like that, Barnyard.
Yeah, it's. Technology brought back an old high school nickname. It's a
sorry about that, man. Didn't want to resurrect that for you.
No problem.
So tell us now, this city paper, you have a bunch of stuff you're talking about. One is this, I find really interesting, are the visibility machines at UMBC. Why don't you start there?
Yeah, it's a fascinating exhibition where it takes a look at drones, and not only in military use, but also in industrial use, using robots or automatons to do our work for us, and especially the way that they process visual data, and it turns that into artwork. And by doing so, it really asks a lot of fascinating questions about the distance that we feel both from our work and especially from our warfare, and the way that distance is on this trajectory to just increasingly grow the greater the technology becomes for these machines to be able to process visual data, so that right now, where we mostly need a person being able to direct where something's going, it's getting where those machines themselves will be able to react to the visual data and not even need a person, which, of course, then takes a moral and ethical element all the way out of the picture.
Who did this piece?
So it's two different guys. Harum Faroki is the filmmaker, and sorry, I have to look and get the other guys. Trevor, his last name is... Trevor Paglin and Harum Faroki, and they're both really they've done a lot of work together. It's really great for UMBC to have been able to get both of these guys together. They've won prizes all over the world, and have both exhibited in internationally, and so it's a great exhibit to be able to see at UMBC.
And you also are covering something I think, you know, again, I always say that Baltimore has this incredible theater community that we just don't really. There's a great underground small theater community in this town that we try to give homage to and bring to the air as much as we can. But you wrote about House of Yes and Mobtown Theater. Talk about Mobtown Theater a bit.
Yeah, so Mobtown Theater is up in, you know, it's sort of out of where the area of the arts districts where most of the other theaters are, up at the Meadow Mill, right off the light rail stop there, up in the Meadow Mill complex. And it's a really nice theater, and they've done excellent work so far. They did a great production of the Medea last year, and in this production was a 1997 film that starred Parker Posey and about an incestuous brother and sister with a fascination with the Kennedy assassination. And so it's great timing. It was really clever and brings a lot to it for them to do it right now as the 50th anniversary is here and everyone's sort of thinking and talking about that. And it was set on the 20th anniversary of the assassination. So it's really a great, and the actors just did a spectacular job. Sometimes you feel like when you see a local theater troupe do a production of a big film version that it's going to be like watching a bar band cover a stadium rock tune. But that really wasn't the case here. And Melody Easton really held her own against Parker Posey. And I think that Eric Paul Bosch, who played the brother, did much better than the Hollywood guy, whose name I can't.
Why remember him at all?
Yeah.
So, and before we wrap up, two quick things. And this is the gift guide issue, which is always very cool. And there's an interesting piece in there called Color Coded about the BMA, Baltimore Museum of Art, putting Morris Lewis together with the great Rothko and Stella and de Kooning that Rebecca Kirkman wrote. That was a great, an interesting little article and a great thing to go see.
Yeah, it's great for them to be able to bring. Morris Lewis was born in Baltimore and went to MICO, you know, and it's called the Institute. And so it's great for them to be able to have some of his work here and you know, some really, it's a rather small exhibition, but it has really important pieces by him. And so it's really one of those one of those shows, especially Dial at Beth, that piece is just monumental, and it's one of those things that it makes a trip to the museum worth just for itself. Yeah. And yeah, we have the gift guide with dozens and dozens of ways that you can shop locally this this holiday season instead of, you know, putting money in Amazon's Death Star tractor beam or whatever. You can spread it around the community.
Maynard Woods, senior editor of the City Paper. Folks, pick up your City Paper. It's great. It's every week it's great. Never what's going to be in it. And thank you so much for joining us once again.
All right. Thanks, Clyde. I'll see you over tomorrow at Red Emma.
Yes, see you tomorrow. All right, man. Right. Take care. Maynard Woods with us. And now we're going to go out, take a little break, come back with our next hour. We have a whole bunch of stuff lined up in the next hour, local politics and more, looking at what's happening with the fight for homeless rights in Baltimore, and hear more than that. But we're going out. Stormy Monday.